be open to the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to give you this day a prophetic exhortation. Prophecy is given for exhortation, edification, and comfort. And I've come to exhort you today, says the Spirit of the Lord, that I've set within the principles of dealing with me certain ways to access me. You know, the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. But I've set before you what I call contact points to release your faith. The centurion said, just speak the word and it shall be so. They sent forth cloths full of my power, tangible power, and demons were released from people and healing came. I've spoken and said, through the laying on of hands, healing would come. I wish to reach and touch my people. So today I send my word to you once again. And I would exhort you with this, that I have set up days as contact points, days of atonement, this feast of trumpets. I've set times and seasons in the earth to move in the hearts of my people. And if you would today realize that this is not just what you would call an Easter Sunday, but it is a contact point where my resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is here to dwell within you and raise some of you from the dead. For some of you remain in the grave through past disappointments and past hurts, and you've crawled into the grave and you have yet to come forth with the potential that I have purposed for you. But I say that my Spirit is here this day to inhabit you and to resurrect you and to bring you into the potential for which I have called you. So if you would but release your faith, my power would be free to form inside of you and to resurrect you and to bring you to a place of life that you desire to be. This is a day of a resurrection. And you need not just be here, but if you will just listen, even a week from now, 2 weeks from now, if you will set this as a contact point, for 2,000 years ago, everything that I did for you became available to you, and daily by faith you appropriate it. So even if it's a week, 2 weeks, I don't care, says the Spirit of the Lord, when you hear this, but when you hear this prophetic exhortation, release your faith and realize that it is yours today, even if it was a week or 2 weeks ago, even if it was a year ago or 2,000 years ago, it is still available to you today.
Real early this morning, and regarding that prophecy right there, contact point, and this guy, I turned on the TV and I was listening to it, and he was preaching, and his contact point was that Jesus is King. And then he started talking about kingship in the Old Testament, and when you were called a king, and the power of a king's voice was so powerful that it could not be turned around. Once the king said something, it was it. And to turn that around, it was almost impossible. And I just hear King Jesus saying that. The contact point, the word of the Lord that we heard today, that contact point is Jesus Christ is King. And we were singing it up here. Jesus Christ is King. And so when we represent him as a representative of the kingdom, he said that I will make you kings and priests unto the Most High God. So I just really encourage you. I mean, this can be used throughout the years. That Jesus Christ is King, and what he says, it's a decree that cannot be changed. That's pretty powerful. Now you think about it, you have to hear from the King, and then the King's words will stand in every situation. You think about healing. You know, I mean, when the King said, you can be healed, the King said it. And it pretty much knocks out everything else. The enemy, he can talk about it all day, and he's not going to give you that type of strength, that type of power, that Jesus Christ is King. Contact point. The king said it. Now I was thinking about Joseph. When Pharaoh gave Joseph second in command in Egypt, when he went out and he showed who he was the second in command of Egypt, because the king or the Pharaoh gave him that type of power. And they would show and they say, okay, yeah, that's a king deal. And I just really believe that as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, the King, that as we go through, especially the summertime, maybe just any issue that you have going is go to the King. And the King's going to give you that type of assurance. Well, the King said it. I'm not going to argue with the King. So I just really encourage you in that prophetic contact point is the King is here today, and he's ready to work his miracles, signs, and wonders in each one of our lives. And this guy was almost irritating on it because he kept on saying it. And then I woke up, and I was kind of dozing, but I woke up as Jesus is King. He got the point across. Thank you, preacher. I don't even know who he was.
Hallelujah. Welcome back, Jim and Mary.
Oh, it's so good to be home. Happy Easter and Resurrection. I just want to share with that prophetic word that Dave had and then what Pastor Jake was saying. But this morning when I got up, we left Friday and we traveled all 30 hours. So I was really tired last night, so I went to bed early. And so then I woke up at 6 this morning, and so it was just an awesome time to enjoy the presence of the Lord and to enjoy Resurrection Sunday. But when I was reading this morning, the Lord really spoke to me. You know, I really believe God is doing an amazing thing in this hour. And I think there's a process that we all need to go through. And sometimes it's a process of healing and a process of being restored and renewed. And we know that that's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. Is coming into that intimate place with Jesus where he can speak to those deep places in our hearts and resurrect them in areas. But when I was reading this morning, I was reading where Martha went to the tomb and she went to fix. You know, I don't know if anybody has watched The Passion of the Christ, but it's just almost unbearable for me to watch what Christ went through for us. I mean, I almost have to turn away because, I mean, it's sometimes I don't even know if we imagine the depths of what he did to break the sin off of our lives. I mean, just the torture and the torment and what he went through. I mean, they said that he was whipped and beaten to the point of they couldn't even recognize who he was. And to me, that's just... But I was thinking of Martha and the disciples and the people that followed Jesus. And I loved Jenny's message last Sunday where she just talked about the comparisons of two kingdoms and what Jesus was doing. You know, what was he bringing forth? And the confusion in the disciples when what they thought Jesus was bringing forth, and Jenny kind of brought that forth, what they thought and then what happened were two different things. Just the trauma of the crucifixion. And you think about the disciples and the women that walked with Jesus and were thinking of he was setting up his kingdom, and then all of a sudden they watched this terrible crucifixion of him. But I was thinking of just the trauma that they went through as disciples, as women that loved him and felt his love and the trauma and the pain. And this morning, when I was thinking about Martha, she came with a gift. She came with stuff to, almost like a burial, or, you know, she came to the tomb. And the Lord just showed me this morning that so many of us, we try to fix the dead things in our lives. And we go try to prepare and fix them and try to make it better. And I'm sure that's what they were. I mean, the disciples, I mean, Peter, he denied him. Thomas, he doubted. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were so confused and so hurt. And sometimes things happen in our lives where we just don't understand. There's trauma and hurt and pain that happens to our lives. And the Lord just showed me so many times we try to fix it. We just try to go and fix it. You know, we take what we have. Martha, she took what she had and she went to the tomb to fix what had happened. And the Lord just showed me this morning that it's time that we stop to try to fix the dead things in our lives. There's dead things in our lives that we can't fix. We can't. It's in the past. We've done it. Maybe we've made mistakes. Maybe we've sinned. And maybe we've hurt people. And maybe we've done all sorts of crazy things. Maybe we've just messed up things. And we try to fix it. We try to fix it. But we can't. And you know, when Martha came, you know, there was a realm where they just said, the angel said, peace. God just came to that scene and he spoke peace. And I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what's gone on in your life, what trauma. I've suffered trauma and I am gone through healing. But God just, so many times, even on the road to Emmaus, he just spoke peace. When Jesus entered in, the resurrected, this is the resurrected, he took care of all that on the cross. He really did. He really did forgive us. He did break the power of sin and death. He broke every area of death in our life. He broke it. And he's saying to us today, peace, be still. Receive the new life. Just receive it. Receive his forgiveness. I speak that over this land. I speak it over this house. I speak it and declare it over this region, over the United States. We've been in trauma. But you know what? The presence of God, the anointing of God, the resurrection King says peace. Receive it. One thing when they were walking on the road to Emmaus and Jesus just started expounding what he did to the disciples, what was foretold? And he just opened their eyes. It was kind of like what you said, Dave. The scales fell off. Things fell off. Things. Jesus said, don't let doubt or fear enter your heart, for I am. That's what he said to them. And I believe Jesus is saying that to us today. Don't let doubt and fear. I believe that there was a journey that Jesus took his disciples on for 40 days after his resurrection. And I believe what was just prophesied over, what Dave just prophesied over and declared over, there was a journey that they took. He took. You know, he walked. You know, there was a time where Thomas said, you know what, I'm not going to believe. Forget it. Unless I can touch the nail prints and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. He told his friends, he said, I'm done. This was too hard. This was, you know, I think Thomas got a really bad rap. You know, we said, doubting Thomas. No, Thomas was traumatized and went through a lot of pain. And he watched someone he loved and cared for him walk through the most... He just needed healing. And you know, Jesus came to Thomas. It said 8 days later. And I love that. 8 days later is resurrection. 8 days is new life. I believe what Dave prophesied, there's a new life coming to the body of Christ. There's new life coming to this church. There's new life coming. 8 days, Peter wallowed in, or Thomas wallowed in the pain and the hurt and the doubt and the fear. And then Jesus showed up. He didn't show up judging Thomas. He showed up with love. He said, come on, Peter. He said, come on, Thomas. Put your hands and just touch them. Here they are. And put your hand in his side. And he loved Thomas back into faith. Is that powerful? And then how about Peter? I mean, Peter denied him. Peter loved him. Peter was zealous for God. Peter was maybe a bit prideful and thought he really had it. And God, you know, through everything he went through, it was just, that thing was just leveled. And Jesus, I mean, Peter to the point has said, I've had it, I'm done. I mean, probably most people have, I'm done with ministry, I'm done with this whole thing, I'm going back fishing. He went back to his old life. He really did. And Jesus met him back there, met him on the shore, and called out to him, and brought him into that place. And then he just, you know, I love it because Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And I think sometimes God just, and I think we're going to be on a journey where God's just going to ask, do you love us? Do you love me? Do you love me? And we'll say, Lord, you know we love you. Yeah, we've been through trauma. We've messed up. We haven't done everything all right, but Peter's heart, he loved God. He loved, and you know what he said? He said, Peter, just feed my sheep. Peter, it's okay. Come on, Peter, receive the resurrection life and feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And I'll just leave you with this last thing. When Jesus was walking with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he said he supernaturally unlocked their understanding. And I think we're going to be in a season, maybe a 40-day season, where God's going to supernaturally unlock some understanding in our lives and some bring revelation and bring, you know, whatever we need just to receive. But one thing I have really found in myself is I want to fix everything. I was, as a woman, I think maybe it's part of being a woman, I don't know. But you just want to fix everything that's messed up. And you know, sometimes all we can't fix. Sometimes it's just we have to give it to him. Not try to fix it, just give it to him and receive the forgiveness. And when Jesus ascended, he spoke to them. He said, just go preach forgiveness. Just, that's what we're called to do, is to preach forgiveness. Release, what Sarah and Jamie were singing, you know, breaking the ties and the bounds of death and trauma and all the sorts of things that happen in our lives. And we have a world full of that right now. And what we need to do is just preach, you know, God forgave. This is what Easter is all about. He just forgave. Just receive. For me, sometimes it's hard to receive. You feel like you got to fix. But I believe resurrection life, you receive it. You just receive it. And so today, I just felt strong to share that because I feel we are in, or maybe I know I am and have been in a journey back into the heart of God and back into the forgiveness of God and back into the Spirit of God and his presence in that intimate place where you just know you're loved. You don't have to do anything for that love. You just receive it. And I just speak that over this house today. I just speak the forgiveness of God and the presence of the intimate God to just be so strong in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. We missed you so much.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Mary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The grave is empty. The grave is empty this morning. And he's risen. He's risen. And I thank God. I thank God that Jesus went through all of that. And it said that he went willingly. He went through all of that for me, for you. All of the whipping, all of the scourging, all of the beating, all of the mocking. He went through that for me because he loved me. Because he loved me. No greater man, no greater love. No greater love than somebody would lay down their life for us. And he did that. He did that. And not only that, but our God supplies. Our God supplies. He protects. This morning we serve a God, a miracle-working God, a miracle-working God. I might look a little worse for the wear this morning, God is able. I probably should have been in a hospital or someplace else. I took a nosedive right onto the sidewalk, just fell flat, and of course I hit the hardest part of my body, my head, so they say that, you know, I'm probably okay because of it, you know, it always hurts your pride, you know, when you fall in public, you know, you quickly get up and you look around and you hope nobody saw it. I don't know whether they did or not, and it doesn't make any difference. God is able. He's a miracle-working God. You know, and I'm walking, I'm a little stiff, a little sore, but God's able. He's able. And he's able to provide everything that we need. Provide everything that we need. You know, and I think that's the thing that's... He just continues to give and give and give and give and give. And he doesn't stop. No matter what we've done, you know, he still gives. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. He still does that. That's the amazing God. That's the amazing God that we serve this morning. That he continues to provide for us. So this morning, you know, those contact points, what's God doing? What's he speaking to you? I know one of the things that he always speaks to me about is my finance. Danny, are you willing to give? Are you willing to give? Will you do it? You know, and I praise God for that. Les, will you come? This morning we get to give. We get to give back to God what he's already given to us. We get to do that. You know, it's the only place in the Bible, in Malachi 3:10, where it says, test me. The only place where it says, test God. And see if he will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you such blessings that you cannot even hold them. That's what my God does. That's what my God does. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning. God, I thank you for your provisions. God, I thank you for your blessings that you continue to shower down on us. Father, even when we don't deserve them. Father, thank you this morning for blessing your people. And Father, we simply give back to you what you've already given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may bring your tithes and offerings.
As they went to move the stone, they saw that Hello. Good morning. We just have one more song that we're going to do this morning, just to really mark how special of a day this is. In my family, we always celebrated Easter almost more importantly than Christmas because it was the day that Jesus was alive. So this was a song that my dad always sang, and every Easter. And me and Jacob have been working on it this week, so I just want to share it this morning. Torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said someone moved him in the night. None of us knows where the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran towards the garden, which all ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How aware they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I discerned a role. Circumstance and stipulation couldn't get me very high. Cause I've seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I did not, I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. They raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, although I was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies, my guilt and my confusion disappeared as he released every fear I'd ever had, just melted into
Hallelujah. Man, we have church service already, so it was good. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Spirit. There's been so much poured out to us right now. I'm going to ask you a question. It comes from a parable in Matthew 13:44. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered and hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he again sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Kids, I want you to tell your parents what you think he found. What do you think that man found? What would you have to find in a field that would cause you to sell everything and buy that field? What would you have to find? What would you have to find, Marky? Oh. Have to be something awfully special. It'd have to be something worth quite a bit. What do you think, Hazel? Oh. Man, that was deep. Wasn't expecting that one. That was good. The future? Did you hear that? You found the future? Hey, think about that. That is in depth. Who wants to try next? Yes, Bristol. What do you think he found in the field that was worth so much that he would sell everything? Gold? Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead, Avery. Gold, Marky? Love. Ooh, you could find love in the ground? Seeing beyond. You know, the parables that Jesus spoke made you wonder and search for some things, right? What do you mean by that? And the words that were spoke today, which are many, are powerful. And the scripture in Psalms that I've been pondering for a long time is it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of a king to search out a matter. Jake was talking about kings. It's not that you just get something, but you search it out. Right? And we have so much good word sometimes we get in this church that we don't search it out, right? But there's something there that is concealed. And when Mary talks about the journey, that when you go through that journey to discover something, you have the things that break off of you when you go and you decide, yes, Lord, and you go on that journey and you lay your life down like Jesus laid his life down, things break off of you so that when you receive that word, you're able to respond to the promise. Think about it. God challenges you with a word, but if you just left it, nothing's going to happen. But there is something there that he wants you to have that is concealed, that when you trust God and you go and you step out and you hang onto his word, things that break off your life, as we've been talking, Mary's been talking about worry and trauma, the things of this world, you know what? There's a word of God. There's something in that field that is more precious than anything out here in this world has to offer. She said, future? These kids come up. Last time I spoke, I think Marky had a word that just totally took over the whole service. But it is your future. It is your kid's future, right? And there is such glory that God gets when Aiden discovers. Did I say your name? I won't say your name. Okay, I'll go over here. When Aiden discovers that. There's a glory that God gets when you discover something about who he is. Isn't it? And all these words that come, you know, you're going on a journey, I get it. But there's something right now in the midst. There is a treasure that God has available. You know, 3 years ago we got this. It is impossible for you to have a problem without a provision and a promise. I've heard that, right? And you get your mind thinking and you go, what does that mean? What does that mean, right? But you don't let go of it, but you keep wrestling with that, and then you go through something that you're hanging on to that, and then after a time and something says, oh, that's what it means. You know, you receive it. You go, oh, sure, that's great. But then when you go out, and you know where the fight is? You guys, you know where the fight is? You go out there, and that's where the fight begins, right? And actually, that's where you discover some of these treasures. You guys know where. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's not Christmas time. It's Easter time, right? Right? Do you guys do this? Okay, if you guys, Easter eggs, you know, spiritual, I just have to close your ears for a second. But we have Easter egg hunts at our house, right? And if somebody is two, we take the Easter egg and we set it on the coffee table, right, in a bright color. So that they can find it. There is no glory, there's no pleasure for God giving you something more and beyond that you could ever handle. And it won't happen. He will never allow something to happen that will take you out. Why? Because of the cross. He did it. So you're never going to go through anything in life that he doesn't have something for you. And that's where we are right now. That's where we are right now. And he takes great pleasure, right? So when you have the Easter egg hunt, right? When we have Easter egg hunts, we don't go, we watch. But we put Easter eggs here for the two-year-olds, and then maybe for the six-year-olds, we'll put it behind something, right? We'll hide it, right? So they have to look for it. And there's something exciting about digging for it and finding something, right? That you have never known before. Seeing something for the first time that you've been looking at for a long time, right? Seeing something for the first time that you've been, and there's something about discovering who God is for you, who he can be for you in every situation. I know that I know that I know, remember this, that God has some promise for you that he wants you to open up and discover right now. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you're going through. There, it is there. It exists. And the glory for God is that we would search out. It is the excitement of us knowing that God has something for me to discover in that place. So we hide in different places. But the thing of it is when our kids go out there, where do we go? When our kids are looking for that stuff, where do you think we go? We go sit down in the room and we hope they find everything. No. We're out there, and we get. Do you want to come up here? I know you do. Marky, come here. So we'd be like, okay, Marky, we had some eggs and we hid some eggs, but we're like, Marky, what do you think I'm doing? What is this? Is this a... Over here. It's over here. Oh, look. Yeah, there it is. You found it. She's like, that was easy, right? Was that kind of fun or not really? You knew I was there. But good job. Like, we're acting. He is urging us on. He is urging us on to discover. He says, here, it seems like we're in the same thing, right? I'm looking for this one thing. It's like constantly, maybe even years. There's something about this moment in time. There's something about a situation. There's something about every time I get here, there's something there because he wants you to find it. And it is the mercy and the grace of God that is constantly bringing us to that point, not to torture us, not to traumatize us, but to bring us to the cross of victory, saying, I overcame that. You need to get this to go on, because you will not be able to bear life if you just don't. And it is the mercy and the grace of God that keeps bringing you to the same spot. It's not about 2 or 10 or 6. It's about that there is something there for you to get. There is a treasure in the field for you to get. My kids know this Easter, they're excited. Hazel says, like, it's Wednesday. It's like, when are we going to have Easter? When is it going to come? When are we going to get to go out and discover something? When are we going to get to find it? Right? It's the hope, it's the promise that we have in Christ that he wants us to discover something great in the middle of something. And I know, and I know, and I know that it's true. 3 years ago, we got this game changer thing. How many things was just over your head? A lot. Yeah, me too. But I knew that there was something there for me. Identity, the shift. I knew that there was something there. I knew it. I couldn't get it all. But I knew that there was something there, so I searched the matter out. And life circumstances came, and when the word came, life circumstances began to identify where it was needed. And as I pressed towards that, I began to discover something real. When I was laying down on the bin floor, I was just thinking, when I could think, because I hit my head, but when I would think, this is interesting. It is. It's okay. Listen, it's okay to wonder, but it's not okay to worry. Okay? It's okay to wonder, but it's not okay to worry. So I wondered. I said, it's like he brought me to a place. He said, all right, do you trust me? Time and time again, he'll do that to you. Not because he wants to show you his greatness, his goodness. Years ago, he said, in a prophecy, he said, my hand is mighty to save. Why would he say that? Because he wants you to know who he is and that this isn't a problem for him. This is before the COVID thing. This is in our conference in 2019. And it struck me in my heart. And I said, something is there that you want to give me. But I couldn't figure it all out. But as time went, I kept holding on that word. My hand is mighty to save. And I carried that. And as things happened, I said, wow, God, your hand is my... Because he wants us to know that there is something there, a provision already there that I want you to discover. And I can't do it for you. I can help you. I can encourage you, like the word was this morning, that we're going to encourage you. We're going to exhort you. The truth of the word of who God is, all of this is so, so true. But when you go out that door, that's where the battle begins. But that's where also the discovery becomes reality. Doesn't it? When Jamie's sitting in the car and said, God, you said, right? Want to sell them cows, right? That's a big deal. God, you said, because he paid the price on the cross that we could discover the good. When my kids and when your kids go out there into the workplace, when they go out there to school and they have pressures and they have things like that, where are they going to discover the true reality of the risen Christ? Where are they going to discover it? They're going to discover it out there. They're going to find out. And I, you know, you don't like it when people go through hard things. But I have to tell you the truth. It's through the hardest times that I discovered the most about who God is. What I trust in the nature of God, again, 3 years ago, what I trust in the nature of who God is gives me power to operate in the kingdom. That's just, at Game Changers 3 years ago. When he said it, did I go, oh yeah, I got it, no problem. And I went out there, no. I began to encounter that. I began to get tested in that. I began to, and I didn't always get the victory. Say, well, I got it. No. Sometimes you didn't. And that's what people say, well, what do I do with this? You go out and you fight and you have brothers and sisters in the Lord that exhort you, that encourage you, and that sometimes slap you in the face and say, what are you thinking? Danny's good at that. But he's my friend and brother in the Lord. And we need people like that. One of the greatest words that I ever had in church was from a lady named Fran Tweet. And I come in the church and I was struggling and I wasn't doing well. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I could see the devil all over you. And you say, whoa. Now that's not a nice thing to say to somebody. Do you think that's real nice? No. But Fran could do it. You know why? Because there was the love that I felt from Fran that went beyond all reason, and I knew she was right, and it broke me. And I needed to hear that word because I was in a dark place. And I need people like that to get in my face that I know that love me and to give me a good slap. But stay there. Don't run away. Restore me like Peter was restored, like Mary was talking about. That walk with me, Jesus, for 40 days so that I get this because I'm tired of missing this. And it's okay to be tired of missing it because you want it. I hope you want it. I hope you haven't stopped fighting for it, right? Don't stop fighting for it because I know that there's something there. Jesus went to the cross so that we could get something. The veil was torn so that you could see something, that you could trust in something. As Mary was talking about, these things are available to us. And I thank you, God, that it wasn't not by my works, but you reveal it to the children of God. And that you show that to us. What are we going to do here? Are we going to do this now? Huh? What did she say? Should we do this? Let's do this. Is it ready? What do you want to come and help me and do this? We're going to do this. But I this is what we do. So what, you want to have them come and just grab one? How much? What's the age group? Kids? Kids church?
Well, kids church age.
12 and down? Do you just want to come and grab one? All right.
Each kid gets one egg, and inside there's prize. There's a grand prize and a runner-up prize.
We were going to hide them, so we were to pretend we were going to hide them, but I think for sake, we want to get. So every child, why don't you come up, grab an egg. And worship team? I think so. Should we have storm drum? Storm. so.
Sure.
Hallelujah. You guys, let's go out today. Let's have a wonderful Easter Sunday. Let's stand up. One of my favorite songs we had a couple of years ago at Kids Church, it was Happy Day. Happy Day. So this is a happy day, a day to rejoice. So much powerful word that was just been shared today. I'm just so thankful. Hallelujah for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you're able to come by your Spirit and minister to families. Have a blessed day. God, as they go out this door and they fight the good fight of faith, Lord, let them go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Let the mountains and the hills break forth before them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Mountains become low. Hallelujah. Valleys be filled in, Lord Jesus. This is the day.